Good morning. Welcome to Saturday. We have a full agenda this morning, and we have a lot of folks that need to be in other places this afternoon and this evening, so we're going to run a tight ship in terms of sticking to the three-minute rule. I think everybody knows about that, but again, if this is your first time here, 3 minutes, buzzer will go off, I'll make a signal, I'll throw a gavel, and throw it, and then you'll throw it back. So it's a three-minute rule. With that, we're going to, there's no food or water in this facility. That's the city rule, and it is monitored by the city, which, whatever that means. But restrooms are down there. Hello. Good to see you. Again, welcome. We're happy to be over here. For those of you that weren't here yesterday, we had a long day yesterday and a lot of great sharing of information. We learned a lot, we processed a lot, and we hope it was beneficial to all parties involved. So we're going to start today with item number 16, which is open public input. And I do have three or four folks that want to come up, and I'm going to call you up two at a time. Make sure your mic's on, be close to the mic, and so we have to get all this recorded. So George Shute and Sean Cantrell, please. George, you're kicking the Saturday off for us.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I was born in Ephrata. Construction tramp every winter. I was a cowboy babysitting cows and running trap lines. We got a mountain lion over here behind Soap Lake coming down, coming through the city limits, eating cats and so on and so forth. They caught him, or they spotted him 50 yards from the post office, 300 yards from the grade school, laying underneath a tree. That ain't cool. I don't know what this love affair is with the predators, but stop and think about it. Every trail's got a story behind it. Now, if those cats are eating roughly a deer a week, if I had poached 200 deer by the time I was in first grade, what kind of a hero would I be? You would make more money selling that 200 deer permits than you'll make off of that one damn cat. There was a reason our forefathers thinned them rascals down. The other thing is, I'd like to see you gather up a bunch of our young bucks, put them in a horse trailer, and take them out there to North Dakota, Colorado, and Wyoming. Not breeding age, just past weaning. And bring a batch of theirs back. And then you switch the tail in the cog here a couple years later, and you do it again. Then you do it again. By the time you have the gene pool mixed up like that, you're going to improve your gene pool. You're going to be raising outrageous deer, and they're not going to eat one more bite than the normal ones are. But the problem you got now is you got grandpa knocking up his granddaughters. That's not really good in management. Your business is game management. You wouldn't let that happen in a herd of cattle. Okay, I'm going to shut up and get the hell out of here.
Thank you, Mr. Shutt. Peter Graydon, please. Sean, it's yours.
Thank you. Sean Cantrell with Defenders of Wildlife. I'm also one of 17 members of the public who serve on the state's Wolf Advisory Group. And I want to talk about the report you'll receive about Wolf Plan implementation later today. Five things. You'll get a great report, I'm sure, from Donnie when he goes through the full presentation, but five issues that I would just note very briefly for you. Number one is that the number of breeding pairs continues to grow, or not continues, it's grown this year, which is really great after several years of being static. So that is a positive, because if we want to get to delisting, that's the key metric that we have to measure is breeding pairs. So the fact that we see an increase this year after, I think, 3 years in a row with remaining static is a very positive thing. Second is the number of depredations on livestock is down. Again, any depredations is not good, but the fact that that number has gone down while the number of wolves has gone up is a very positive thing. Number three, the number of damage, I'm going to make sure I get the term right, damage prevention cooperative agreements, which is the agreements between the department and livestock producers, has gone up significantly over the last several years. That's another good, very positive trend that we're seeing. Number four, the fact that the compensation program, after several challenges and difficulties and slowness of getting going, seems to be improving, which is, again, an important piece of the management program. If we're going to have the compensation to actually make sure it happens, that the livestock producers are receiving that compensation, is great. And the fifth thing, the last one that I would note, is of more concern, and that's the continued concentration of almost all of our wolf packs in Northeast. If we want to get to recovery, we need to see those spread. So I think that remains one of the biggest challenges in the recovery effort, is to how to make sure that the wolf population continues to disperse, not just in Northeast, but throughout the state. And then the last comment I'd make before my time's up here is that the Wolf Advisory Group did meet for 2 days in Tumwater on Monday and Tuesday of this week. And as one member there, I won't try to speak for all of the group, I will say that I remain extremely encouraged by the progress we're making. We're wrestling right now with lethal take protocol. And as you might guess, that's probably one of the most contentious, if not the most contentious, issues that we're going to be dealing with on the Wolf Advisory Group. And we haven't reached a conclusion, but we had a lot of really great work looking at limiting factors. Miranda was there and heard much of it. And we've punted it back to the staff to develop a couple different scenarios or opportunities of how we would go forward. But our intent is to come up with a actual specific recommendation for at least this grazing season, if not on an ongoing basis, in our May meeting, so that we can have that lethal take protocol fully agreed upon by all groups before the grazing season starts. So thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Dave DeShiel, please, and Peter.
Okay, thank you guys for your time today. First off, I'd like to say I appreciate the job you're doing and the continued open public communication. The reason I'm here is I'm representing not only myself,
just
but...
speak a little, yeah, just pull it up.
Okay, is that good?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the reason I'm here is I'm not representing only myself, but I'm here representing several other hunters that I hunt with and that I've spoken to about this issue. And that is that we oppose the new regulations regarding baiting of deer and elk. I know you guys had time for this yesterday. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it. The reasons that we oppose this is it's an integral part of the hunt if you're a tree stand hunter. It gives you more opportunities at the deer. It gives you better shot opportunities, cleaner, ethical shots. Also, it helps them over the harsh winter months. Salt licks give essential nutrients and help the development of young fawns before they're born, and then after they're born also. It's also the tradition. Many of my friends have shot their first bow deer over bait, and I see no problem with it. If there's any problems with it, I think education is the best way to go about solving these problems and not putting more regulations on it. That's pretty much all I got for that. I appreciate you guys' time.
Well, thank you, Peter, and we appreciate seeing younger voices at the table as well. Thank you. Wes McCart, please, and Dave.
Thank you. I'm Dave DeShiel, cattle and sheep producer from Stevens County. And after the last couple of years with all the problems that we had with wolves, we had to make the hard decision to sell 500 ewes because we see no way out of this deal. I can either keep them and let the wolves kill them, or I can sell them and maybe put the money in the bank. But from past history, I see no way out of this deal. You know, when we was getting killed up there on the mountain a couple years ago, it was, when can you move? When can you move? And then this last summer when my dog got attacked. And, well, do I leave that little bunch of sheep that I had? Do I leave them there? I moved them to the house to the to a pen right by the house, and then I had to wind up hauling them to El Topia. And then as far as the depredations last year, we're down. Well, yeah, I had 1,000 head of ewes locked up in a pen down there in the desert. And so, you know, I got this little hobby herd left, and, you know, we made some commitments over the last few years on figuring on selling 600 to 800 lambs, not 150 or 200, and selling 12,000 to 15,000 pounds of wool, not 2,500. And there isn't a day that goes by that I am not thinking how I'm going to cover all this. And, you know, this compensation, you know, I didn't get in the sheep business to get money from the state. And what compensation I got isn't keeping me in the sheep business. Now, it's like I talked to the director this January, where's the line? Do they have to kill the rest of my sheep? Do they have to start killing the cows? Do they have to start killing kill all the Diamond M cows up in that country? Where's the line? And, you know, we haven't got time to wait. The director said, you know, in 20 years we'll probably be recovered and have a hunting season. Well, big whoop, I'll be 80 years old. So something has to happen. Somebody's got to make the tough decisions, and when can you move isn't the right one. And our wolf problems are not overblown. They're real. When they're killing your stuff, it's real. When they're killing the neighbor's stuff, it's a bad deal. When they're killing your stuff, it's really bad. So, you know, I don't know what else I can say. I've been here 3 or 4 times. I went to every meeting before the wolves ever showed up, and they've done exactly what they said we would do. And tying ribbons on the fence and going out in the brush and hollering ain't working. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yes.
There again, point of clarification, Dave. Did you finally get settled up on a, and there again, I thoroughly understand you're not in a business for government compensation. We're in a business to ranch, but when you had the big hit here a few years back, did you finally get some compensation for that?
We got the paid for the 23 or 32 or whatever the confirmed number was, 12,000, whatever. I can't remember the figure, but I'm sure somebody knows it around here.
But there again, we were down at the Tri-Cities here a year or so ago, and yeah, I was in the sheep business at one point in time too. Thirdly, understand there's a normal death loss on sheep.
Right.
But you had taken X amount of sheep up on the hill, come back with Y amount, and the discrepancy was like 300 head, correct?
Yep.
There was no compensation for
nothing on that. I've heard Shelley Short said she was working on it through the legislature, and where that is wound up, I haven't heard. And I haven't spent the money yet.
I think Nate wanted to
speak here. Folks can hear me fine. Nate Pamplin, Assistant Director with the Wildlife Program. Good to see you, Mr. Dashiel. As far as the livestock claims for the indirect losses, the unconfirmed losses, Mr. Dashiel filed a claim first with the Farm Service Agency. It took several months or about a year to finally hear back that his claim was denied, which then allows for the state to go forward. We recently created a livestock claim panel. They're meeting, I believe, later this month. And the first, we've got to develop the criteria on how to assess some of these indirect losses, whether reduced pregnancy rates, reduced weight gains, or unconfirmed losses. But that's what this panel will be charged with. And then after that criteria is developed, there's a couple claims from 2014 that are on the docket.
Thank you, Nate.
I guess where I'm headed with this, and Dave and Julie are going to be collateral damage in this thing, and it breaks my heart. Dave and I are basically the same age, known him, what, 20-some years? And I know what a struggle it is to start out in ag and try and get going. And you only have about one of those in your lifetime that you can pull off. And this kind of stuff, and I'm not faulting you guys, Nate. I know how the game played. But we've got to do everything that we possibly can that Dave and Julie are the last ones put out of business over this whole deal. We have a lot of questions that need to be answered, but we still, every time we're dealing with this, we need to remember Dave and Julie, that they were put out of business by this whole thing. And it does. It breaks my heart to see it happen. But we got to do our goddamnedest to make certain that they are the last ones put out of business.
I second what he just said.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I could go on longer, but thanks anyway.
And Dan Carpenter and Commissioner, you're aware that the 3 minutes you can take will look wonderful. Yeah.
Thank you, but I'll try and keep it short, Commissioner. For the record, Wes McCart, Stevens County Commissioner, I welcome all of you. A couple of things I'd like to mention on the wolf. I'll come back later and talk about the cougar issues. First of all, I keep getting hit with this. The department is following the plan. And the plan is great. Let's keep the plan in place. Well, there's a piece of the plan that hasn't been followed up on, and that's translocation. Every time it's entered, well, we don't want to do that, you know, and SEPA hasn't been done. Well, I'm here to formally request that you as a commission vote to direct the department to conduct SEPA on translocation. We still have not got a pack in the one area, the southwest corner of the state in that area. There's no confirmed packs. There's been a couple of wolf sightings in that area, I know. But the reality is, when you look at the map later today, and I'm sure you've seen it already, the more packs keep growing, where are the majority of those packs ending up? Right in my neighborhood. For recovery, I heard the guy from the Center of Biological Diversity talk just a minute ago, and he's going, you know, hey, we need to work on trying to get these across the state. I agree. And this is a way to do it. And it was put in the plan originally. So we're going to follow the plan. Let's at least be ready to make the decision, do we want to do it or not. We can't do that without having SEPA done. If that would have been done originally, SEPA would have been done 3 years ago. It hasn't been done at all. It hasn't even been started. SEPA will look at all the positive and negative effects of translocating. I know there's some social aspects to that, but quite frankly, I don't really give a crap about the social aspects. You want to talk about social aspects? Come and live in my neighborhood. So please, I urge you guys to just direct the department to do that. I know it's a budgetary item, but come on, folks. There's enough budget within the department to get this piece of the puzzle done. That's one. Two, you're going to hear later reports, see the reports on the wolves. I will remind you that the incidents that happened up, there's a little listing title that says cattle. There's a big difference between taking out a calf and taking out a full-grown mother cow. The first incidents that occurred up in the smack out were 3 cows. We had not seen that before in this state. That's a big difference, and I would urge that you direct the department to clarify that these are not all cattle incidents. There is a big difference. Last, I want to talk about the incident that happened up not too far from me on an attack. Actually, it was an attack. It was an interaction with a dog. I'll say it was an attack. Nothing got hurt. Everything turned out okay. Except now those folks' lives are changed forever. They've got two dogs. One's a Pyrenees. Those are guard dogs. And the thing that bothers me the most is those folks, because it's not livestock, don't get any access to looking at the maps. They can't sign an agreement to know where those wolves are. They weren't offered any assistance. I had I don't know how many conversations with the folks at the department. They weren't offered not one time in four of going up and meeting with those folks did the department ever offer them any assistance to deter the wolves. It was always, what can you do? What can we do to help you keep your dogs inside? I'll go back to what I first said. It was guard dogs. They have them there to ward off the cougars, the bear that come into their places, stuff like, and it's been very effective. Now, because of the wolf pack, they can't leave their dogs out when they go away. Well, it kind of defeats the purpose of having a guard dog to protect your property. And these dogs don't roam all over. They stay within very narrow confines of their house. Somewhere or another, we need to get to the point where folks that are not having a death or not having something wounded are recognized as a valid incident that can be, that we can offer some help to, some assistance. You know, I kept hearing, well, everybody needs to be aware they're all over the place now in your area. That's not good enough. You know, I'm not going to wait for things to come down in the city of Colville before we get there. And that's what we're going to end up doing. We need to keep these critters away from residents, away from people that are going. I got a lady that packs her gun out to pick up her mail. Is this really how we want to manage this critter? So with that, I just ask that you really consider and you direct the department to take some action on things that are other than just a depredation. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And Dan, you will be the last of this part.
Okay. Sorry for showing up today. I probably missed some of the fine print about the issue, small in comparison to the wolf problem, but my issue that I came to speak on is the what's called baiting of the deer and elk. And that was covered yesterday. So I apologize for coming in today and rehashing that. And I just wanted to, had I known, I would have showed up yesterday if I'd have probably seen the fine print. But I'm an archer, and beyond that, I grew up hunting Washington State since I think my first license was 1964 when they were $6.50 and the deer tag was $3. Oh, I'm sorry. And I've bird hunted, I've rifle hunted, and I switched to archery in 90. Well, actually, I hunted Idaho for many years in the mid-80s. Was really successful with calling elk in Idaho and their long season there. In Washington, I made the either-or. Made the choice to go archery fully in 92, and I've been an archery hunter since then. For 25 years, I've hunted a piece of property in Spokane Valley. I usually hunt Unit 127. This property has remnant apple orchards from 100 years ago when Spokane Valley was being developed, and they would haul apples to a road called Appleway and sell their apples. These apple trees are remnants of those old orchards, and I feel privileged. It's been a Shangri-La for me to be able to hunt that, because if there's nothing that draws deer, is apple trees, and that's not only in Unit 127, but across the state. My issue, and I know it's controversial amongst people who maybe don't know or realize what hunters do, is we use advantage at every aspect of our game. High-powered rifles, getting down to the basics, we use scents. I've rattled in bucks too. But I find more success hunting these apple trees. Now, you get to a year like this last year when the apples drop sooner, or environment is changing. Whether it's permanent, whether it's temporary, we'll see. But when the apples drop sooner and they're gone by October, some years the apple trees hold on to these wild apples that are very hardy. They'll hold into November and into the late season and Thanksgiving, and I'm still able to hunt those apple trees. And the deer still hit those in the evening times, the prime time, the last half hour or hour of daylight, and it's been great fun. But this year I enhanced the apples that weren't falling anymore with more apples, and I guess that's called baiting. And I just wondered the difference, where some people take a deference to this baiting, and maybe there's some abuses somewhere. I don't know of the abuses, what they were. Maybe would have been yesterday. I should have been here. Probably those issues maybe came out. You want me to stop?
Well, the buzzer went off. Your 3 minutes is up. If you had another sentence or so. Thank you. We do have the 3-minute rule, and oops, sorry.